And joining me right now here on the Mark Moses Show to preview a new season of Major League Baseball, which starts on Thursday, and to go over the latest on Shohei Ohtani controversy going on right now. He's my good friend, Joe Lucchio with the Comeback Baseball blog. Joe, how you doing today?
Doing very well, Mark. Thanks for having me today.
Look, I don't want to talk about Ohtani, but this story just gets more complicated. What is the latest as of today as we're getting ready for the new season?
I mean, essentially, Ohtani said his interpreter stole money from him, siphoned money from his accounts, and ended up using it to pay gambling debts, which obviously is not great. Ohtani's being investigated by MLB. Based on all the statements from everybody, I don't think there's going to be really anything that happens for that. But it's a really strange situation because, you know, he's always been very private. And for him to come out and be the focus of a big investigation like this is pretty surprising for everybody.
You're out there in California. You're there in the Los Angeles area. What is the feeling in the air right now as the Dodgers are trying to go win a World Series?
The takes that have come out of this are just, they're just amazing, especially locally. There's a lot of people just kind of saying stuff like he needs to be more open and he needs to grow up and he needs to be less secretive. But I mean, it's really weird to have that take because by all accounts, he was just doing his own thing while his interpreter was kind of pulling all these strings in the background. And if anything, it shows me he needs to tighten the circle up a little more, even further. So we'll see what ends up happening there, but it's really just been a wild week or so.
How bad is this for Major League Baseball then?
I mean, I don't think it's that bad at all because, you know, it wasn't Ohtani himself that was accused of doing anything bad. It was his interpreter. If anything, it makes the Angels look bad because they're the ones who first employed the interpreter and kept him on for so long before he ended up following Ohtani over to the Dodgers. So, yeah, if anything, he and the former organization Ohtani belonged to are the ones that kind of come out of this looking the worst, in my opinion.
There's no wrong answers here, but do you feel like this is going to linger all season long with Ohtani?
I mean, honestly, this is kind of a cop-out answer, but it depends how long the investigation runs from MLB. If we get to the All-Star break and they're still investigating, then, yeah, obviously it's going to hover over the whole season. But if, you know, in 2 weeks everything is done and dusted and he's cleared, I think I don't think it'll be much of an issue going forward.
When did this start? Was this, like, last week when they were in Korea for that series and then everything just started happening?
ESPN has been doing some reporting on this for, let's say, a few weeks now. They actually have an article where they laid out their full timeline, but it really didn't become public till I want to say last Tuesday with the Dodgers in Korea, and then everything kind of erupted overnight with the team there, leading to the interpreter getting fired, and it really just became this huge mess then and there. But the actual reporting behind the scenes has been going on for a while. The alleged bookmaker that's been involved in this scheme has been under investigation for years, and he's apparently cooperating and so on and so forth. So there's been a lot going on, but it really just hadn't been public till this past week.
We're here with Joe Lucchio. Want to clarify this. Is sports betting legal in the state of California?
It is not.
So that also doesn't help this story, does it?
It doesn't, because, like, a lot of people are like, oh, this is such a black eye for baseball with their leaning into sports betting and such. But, like, the interpreter was using an illegal bookmaker. He wasn't, like, siphoning out this money to pay DraftKings or whoever. Yeah. He was, you know, paying a bookie for his gambling habits. So even if sports betting was legal, I mean, he might not have had to do that, and it would have been a much different situation.
I don't like this story, dude. I don't. I think this is a weird story for baseball. It's terrible timing. If you're Ohtani, how are you even in this situation? That's my question, Joe.
He has, like, really kind of trusted a lot of people to do things for him. He's, you know, been focusing so much on just playing on the field and his team and doing all that kind of thing. He's been very hands-off with a lot of his other stuff, and I think that has has come back to bite him in this situation. We've seen it happen before with other players, obviously not gambling, not to this extent, but for Ohtani to find himself in this situation just after signing this big contract. And just a few weeks ago, the big story about Ohtani was he had gotten married and it was secret to everybody and nobody knew about it. And now that's been replaced with all this gambling chatter. It really just is not it's not a great look.
You think he's going to get big cheers, though, when they open at home at Dodger Stadium?
Oh, massive. That has nothing to do with it. I think a lot of the fans are still, you know, they still love the guy. It's not like this is going to be some kind of huge black eye on him. It's not like he got arrested for some kind of horrible situation. It's just this really ugly saga that has enveloped him that kind of came out of nowhere.
We're here at Joe Lucia, Comeback Baseball Blog. All right, we will start in the National League then, because the new season starts on Thursday. Are the Dodgers the team to beat in the National League?
I mean, either Dodgers or Braves, depending on how you want to look at it. They're head and shoulders the two best teams in the National League. I think the Braves might have a little bit of an easier run with two teams in the NL East kind of punting on this season and one kind of half in, half out, whereas in the NL West, the Padres took a step back, but they're still going to contend. The Giants have taken seemingly a good step forward, so they're going to be in the race. Just based on that, I think the Braves have a little bit of an edge overall, but that's not saying that they're head and shoulders better than the Dodgers.
All right, the Dodgers, do they have to win over 100 games?
I mean, they don't have to win over 100 games. They have to win the World Series. That's really what it comes down to for me, because so much of the woes that franchises had in recent years are just based on them not being able to get over the hurdle and win the title. They've won one World Series in the last, I think it's almost 40 years, and that one came in the shortened season of 2020, so a lot of people really aren't counting it all that much. They've got to win a World Series, especially with this payroll. If they don't win the World Series this year, or even make it to the World Series this year, I think heads are going to roll. We're going to see a bit of a new Dodger leadership core coming into place next season.
The Diamondbacks won the pennant last year. Do they have high expectations, or is that just a fluke last season?
A little bit of column A, a little bit of column B. I mean, it was a fluke for them to, you know, win the pennant when they were, what, the fourth or fifth best team in the National League, maybe even further down. They actually have had a pretty good offseason. They signed Eduardo Rodriguez, one of the best free agent starters on the market, though he's going to start the year off on the IL with a lat strain. Just this week, they signed Jordan Montgomery, another one of the best starters on the free agent market. So they really bolstered that rotation that was already looking pretty good. They've got a young team, good offense. Padres are less star-laden than they have been. Giants, there are still some question marks about them. So, yeah, the Diamondbacks easily could make a run. Knocking off the Dodgers at the top of the NL West might be a bit of a challenge, but with three wild cards, they'll definitely be in contention for one of them this year.
Okay, let's go to the NL East. You were talking about the Braves a second ago. We're here with Joe Lucia with the Comeback Baseball Blog. Is it, if you're the Braves, after what's happened here the last couple of years, is it just get into the playoffs? Like, just who cares about what we do in the regular season?
Yeah, because as we've seen, you know, 2 years ago, they battled the Mets down the wire for the division title, ended up winning that, gassing out in the playoffs. Last year, they had way less competition for the division, went into the playoffs, got really gassed out, just got beaten around by the Phillies. This year, I mean, it almost might be a good thing for them to have to play in the wild card game just to potentially avoid the Phillies in the divisional series. But a lot of that will come on to the health of the rotation. Spencer Strider makes 30 starts. Chris Sale can make 25 starts. Charlie Morton, 25. Max Fried, 30. I think they'll be in good shape in the playoffs. But if it's a situation like it was the past couple of years where that rotation is held together with rubber bands and bubble gum going to the playoffs, I think it might be a struggle for the Braves in October.
All right, and then the NL Central. Is it up for grabs, or is there a team to beat?
I mean, it's a pretty terrible division overall. These five teams are really not great. NL Central's probably only getting one playoff team, especially when you look at the rest of the division. I guess, like, on paper, the Cardinals, who were bad last year, are the favorites. When you have a lineup with Nolan Arenado and Paul Goldschmidt in it, you can't really count a team like that out. The Cubs look good. The Brewers are probably going to take a step back. They won the division last year. Even a team like the Pirates and the Reds are kind of leaning into this youth movement, and if things break right for them, they could win the division. So we've got five teams that all have their high points, all have their low points, but I can't see a team getting out of that division with more than 86 wins.
Who's your team to win the pennant in the National League?
I'm going to wave the homer flag and say the Atlanta Braves, finally, for the first time, all the way back since 2021.
He's going with that. We'll go to the American League, and we'll start with the East. You had Baltimore win this division with over 100 wins. You had the Rays make it. What are your thoughts on this division with expectations for everyone?
Expectations are high for all these teams. Like, Baltimore was bad last year, but they seem to think they can rebound again this year. I'm very skeptical on that, but it is what it is. Toronto did not have a great offseason. They'll probably take a step back. Tampa had another one of those offseasons where they don't really seem to do much of anything, but yet they'll probably back their way into 90 wins once again. Baltimore had the big move this offseason of acquiring Corbin Burns from the Brewers to add that top-of-the-line arm to their rotation. And then, you know, the Yankees are the Yankees, traded for Juan Soto, going to be a lot of good vibes about them. But, again, their rotation, as I've said, like, seemingly every year for the last 10 years, they have a very injury-prone rotation. And with Gerrit Cole starting off the season on the IL, he's been the one guy that's been super consistent for them in their rotation. And if he's not going to be able to make 30 starts for them, I really doubt they're going to be able to make the playoffs.
Is it the Orioles? Is that your pick to win that division?
Yes, the Orioles are definitely my pick to win this division this year. All that young talent is going to get even better. They've added some veterans to kind of bulk up the rest of that team, and I really think they're going to really be just a contender overall for the World Championship this year.
Okay, the AL Central, Joe Lucia. What do you think? What are your thoughts?
Just like the NL Central, man, it's just a hot mess. The only team I'd really say is not in the potential running are, unfortunately, your Chicago yes. White Sox. The other four teams, I mean, I think you can make cases for all of them. Minnesota looks like the favorite right now, but I really think that Kansas City could take a nice step forward with another full year of Bobby Witt Jr. Cleveland does what Cleveland does, man. They just kind of put these seasons together out of nowhere to really just kind of contend. And then you have Detroit, who is another young team that kind of has seemingly stalled on that rebuild. So this year will be big to see if you're going to take a step forward and keep this rebuild moving, or if they're going to take a step back and have to make some serious changes.
Okay. The West, which was won pretty much, the pennant in the World Series by the Texas Rangers. Are they the team to beat in the West?
Maybe. Either them or the Astros. One of the two Texas teams is probably the favorite. The Rangers did a lot of their spending the last 2 years, bringing in Corey Seager, Marcus Semien, Jacob deGrom, and Max Scherzer, who, shock of all shocks, are hurt and going to start the year on the IL. But, you know, they did win the World Series last year. They did win the pennant last year. This is a team that's really good on paper. And I think they have all the components in place to contend again this year. But then you have the Astros the Astros have just been this dominant force for the last decade, but they've got some new change, blood in the dugout following Dusty Baker's retirement. We're going to see how that goes for them. Seattle took a step back last year, but they're looking good again this year. And then there's the Angels and A's, who are kind of in a realm of their own at the bottom of the division. Oakland is the worst team in baseball by a pretty wide margin, and the Angels, despite their high payroll, are still a complete mess, and really for them, the goal should probably be finishing 500 rather than making the playoffs.
We talked about this a couple weeks ago, but I wonder if there's an update. Is this the last year for the Oakland A's as a baseball team?
Maybe. That's not a good answer. They're least with the Coliseum expires at the end of this season. They haven't worked out anything for the next couple of years. After the end of that lease expires, They haven't even started construction on their stadium in Vegas, which is supposed to be open in, I believe, 2027. So really, we're just kind of in a holding pattern with the A's. Are they going to play in Oakland in the next 2 years? Are they going to move to another market like Sacramento or Salt Lake City for 2 years before this Vegas stadium gets done? Is the Vegas stadium even going to get started, because there's lawsuits going on right now to prevent it being built? There is just a giant mess, and I'm shocked this is the franchise that is fumbling the bag like this.
What are attendance numbers going to be like this year? Because they're awful anyway. Are they going to be even worse? Maybe that's the question.
I mean, can they get even worse? Like, I think last year they averaged under 10,000 fans a game, which is like below minor league baseball level. It's so pathetic. This year, I think it's going to be even worse. I'm sure there are some fans that will come out just kind of like say goodbye to the A's or whatever. But I really just don't think people are going to come back. Like, there's no reason to be a season ticket holder, so you're going to lose out on all of that potential ticket sales. And I just really don't think that there's going to be a lot of support for them this year.
All right, you took the Braves in the National League. Who's your pick in the American League to win the pennant?
I'm going to go with Baltimore. I'm going out on a little bit of a limb there with their lack of experience relative to the rest of the league. But I think last year they kind of did some growing up in the playoffs and they got bounced pretty quickly. And I think they'll learn some lessons from that and come back a little fiercer this year.
Are you okay with the current state of baseball where it's still a marathon, but honestly, the expanded playoffs have changed everything with how you look at it?
They have, but still we're only a couple years into this. And I know the results really haven't been great for the better teams the last couple of years, with the Rangers winning last year, the Diamondbacks winning the pennant despite being so far back in the overall standings. But that's a lot of what the playoffs are, man. It's a crapshoot, but at the same time, you have to have depth. And when you look at what happened with the Dodgers, you know, they spent so much money going into the season, but their starting rotation was terrible. And that's where one part of where the Diamondbacks beat them up so badly. Diamondbacks never trailed in that sweep of the Dodgers. And a lot of that just has to go with their overall team building and how the Dodgers, despite spending so much money, just did not have some of that overall depth. And they really just caught up with them in a span of a week. I think teams going forward are going to keep that in mind and try to have a little more depth, so they're not leaning too much on their high-end expensive players, and I think that'll end up paying off in the long run for them.
All right, before I let you go, we're here with Joe Lucia. Here's what I bought my dad. So the White Sox, his team, are going to be at the Miami Marlins around 4th of July holiday weekend. This is the promotion I got for the Miami Marlins. Four outfield seats in the outfield, four tickets. It includes four drinks, so like four sodas, four hot dogs, and four popcorns. How much do you think it cost me?
See, I'm not sure if it's going to be super low or super high, so I'm going to lean on the side of super low and say $44.
That is correct. On the money.
Yes.
Wow.
I feel like when I was a kid, I would see that offer for like minor league baseball or whatever, and now we're seeing it in 2024 for the Miami Marlins. Just too perfect.
I saw a thing where, and by the way, that was incredible that you got it on the nose. I'm not kidding around. He did that. And they gave you the expansion. If you want to get more tickets, it's another like $11. So I got five for 55. Oh. What? So wild. They have another promotion where it's like they want senior citizens to come out. So I think if you show your ID, then you get two complimentary tickets if you're 65 and older to go to the games. What?
That is amazing. I love that. And they count on you to buy their $14 beers or whatever.
That's right. Dude, they have the cheapest opening day ticket as well in baseball coming up tomorrow. How much does it cost?
That sounds about right.
How much does it cost to go to a Dodgers game?
I've been, since I've lived here, which has been, 7 years now, I've only been to one Dodger game, and it was a playoff game against the Braves. And my buddy and I were sitting like in the upper deck, like three rows from the top of the stadium. And I think it was like $60.
That's not that bad for a playoff game.
It actually, it actually wasn't horrible. The worst part was the hour and a half it took us to get out of the parking lot at the end of the game.
Will Angel tickets be cheap this season with no Ohtani?
They're going to be dirt cheap, man. Like the last few seasons when Ohtani was around, whenever he was pitching, prices would like spike. There'd be so much money to get in the stadium. But now without him, that's not going to be a thing. The team's going to be horrible. I haven't looked at any of their promotions, but I assume it's like 18 Mike Trout-related items and nothing else because there are no other marketable players on that team that you can actually count on. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to going to see the Angels when the Braves are in town in August, just before my anniversary. Going to end up hopefully paying like $30 for me and my wife to get in.
Nice.
And, yeah, that'll be a good time.
Okay, bonus. Would you eat this at the ballpark? The White Sox are introducing a 16-ounce campfire milkshake. 16 ounces! Graham crackers, marshmallows, and pieces of chocolate. Would you eat this at the game?
So my wife actually sent me a picture of this yesterday, and just looking at it, I'm like, this looks delicious, but my teeth are hurting right now. I would go for it as long as I could, like, split it with someone.
Yeah,
I
mean, like five people.
I don't want to eat all that on my own. I'd be in a bad way pretty soon after that.
Yeah, you're not kidding around. Joe Lucia is going to join us all season long to talk Major League Baseball. Thanks for your help, man. Have a great day.
Thanks for having me, Mark. Appreciate it, buddy.